Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We find ourselves again today in the magnificent book of Ephesians. We realize that the Spirit of God used the Apostle Paul to write this magnificent book, not only to the Ephesians, but to us. This is God's message to us. We have some neighbors that we visit with quite often, and we announced to them about a year or so ago that we were studying the book of Ephesians. And they asked me the other day, are you still in the book of Ephesians? Well, we're in chapter 3, aren't we? We're having a good time. We appreciate you willing to learn and study with us. There are so many things here. It's interesting to me when I get through with a message, go home and I think about it. There are so many things that I could have added that I didn't. But that's okay. We're studying God's Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and it's wonderful to be able to do it this way. And I'm thankful that God has allowed me to have a congregation like you folks who love the Lord, love the Word, and who are so faithful in listening attentively and carefully to the communication of God's Word. One of the things we've tried to emphasize through these years is that the church is designed not only to help people be saved, but to help people who are saved advance and grow in grace and knowledge. And that's our purpose and reason for being here. And that is to teach the Word of God so that we can properly utilize spiritual fuel and find ourselves triumphant and victorious on a day-by-day basis. God does not want us to be frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused, frustrated. That's not God's plan for the believer. God's plan for the believer is for us to be joyous, happy, radiant, triumphant, victorious on a day-by-day basis. And we cannot do that if we're not properly related to Him. It means that not only are we to be in fellowship, but we're to have His thinking. We're to know His Word. We're to study His Word diligently, daily, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night, but every day. And those of you who do not hear God's Word from us every day, I would encourage you to find a consistent teaching of the Word so that you can advance spiritually. We have a tremendous number of hours of information from our church over the years. And so if you're interested and need additional information, you can get on the Internet and you can find the information you can study on a daily basis. We encourage you to do that. Hours and hours and hours of study have already been recorded, and they're available to you on the Internet. So take advantage of it, please. Now, before we begin, may we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. We're here because of your grace. We're here because of the fact that you've allowed us to live another day. We know that life itself is a gift from God, and the ability to be here and to breathe and to be able to understand the plan that you have for us. All of this is God-given. We thank you so much for it. We're thankful that we have this completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the logistical provisions of life. We thank you that you've taken care of us to make it possible for us to still be alive and be here today. Help us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To continue our study where we left off at the last session, I'm going to interrupt myself to tell you that we're taking a look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to take a note of the fact of our Heavenly Father. This verse of Scripture emphasizes that the Apostle Paul is saying, I bow my knees to the Father. And the emphasis there is upon the characteristics and essence of the members of the Godhead. If I were to come and sit by your side and ask you to give me some characteristics, the essence of the members of the Godhead, I believe that all of you would be able to do that because you've heard it dozens and dozens of times over the last years. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. All of us are aware of the fact that there came a point of time when the Heavenly Father looked down upon a sin-cursed earth and there needed to be a solution to a spiritual problem. I believe, in putting this in modern terminology, I believe that the members of the Godhead, deity 1, 2, and 3, discussed your plight and mine. Born physically alive, spiritually dead. Individuals who needed help. No one on the earth as a human being could help that situation. No one in the energies of the flesh had the ability to save self. There's no way that you or I could ever bring salvation to ourselves. And the members of the Godhead were fully aware of that fact. Deity 1, the Father. Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ who became the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ. I believe that those members of the Godhead, along with Deity 3, the Holy Spirit, discussed your situation and mine. I realize that I'm putting this in modern terminology. I'm putting it where you and I can think about it. When the members of the Godhead saw that mankind was depraved, fallen creatures, something needed to be taking place to solve that situation. In my mind, I am concluding that the Heavenly Father, Deity One, gave consideration to your situation in mind and discussed this with the other members of the Godhead, Deity Two, the pre-existent Christ, and Deity Three, the Holy Spirit. Somehow in my thinking, I conclude that Deity Two, the pre-existent Christ, the eternal Christ, said to Deity One, the Father, someone has to go to the earth and pay the penalty for sin, who is not only equal with mankind, but equal with God. And Deity Two, in saying that, said to, I believe, the Father, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to leave heaven's glory and become, even though I am the eternal Christ, I'm willing to become God in the flesh, the God-man. Somehow I conclude that Deity One, looking at that situation over, concluded and drew the conclusion that There was only one way for mankind to have salvation, and that was by means of the provision of salvation through what only deity could do. Most of us are familiar with the fact that deity too, Christ, the eternal Christ, is not only the Christ who is eternal, but the pre-existent Christ, who became the existent Christ, which means Christ in the flesh on the earth. And so deity two said to deity one, this is my thinking, I'll go to the earth and I'll become the God-man for the specific purpose of paying the penalty for sin. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you will discover that when man sinned, God had said, if you disobey, dying, you shall die. Two kinds of death there. Most of us are fully aware of this. If you disobey, dying, you shall die. Dying spiritually first, and then you will die also physically. What is amazing to me is that over the years in preaching this, I have emphasized the fact that it is God who gives us life. And when this tiny little baby was born, even though a mom and daddy are involved here, it was God who gave that life. God gives life. And that is what is known in the Hebrew language as neshama. Beautiful word. Which simply means that when a tiny little baby is born, when your little babies were born, God used you to bring them here, but I tell you what, it was God Himself who put life in those little babies. And I'm happy to tell you, it couldn't be any better than that. God said, if you disobey, dying, you shall die. Adam and Eve lived, as you all know, a good long while before they died physically. How many times have I said, you and I are living in a body that's on its way out? The Lord may let me live many more years, and if He does, that's wonderful. If the Lord sees fit to take me home anytime soon or in years to come, it's wonderful. All I'm trying to tell you is, it's wonderful. What God has in store for you is wonderful. God is the giver of life. And you and I don't make a decision unless we're foolish about the time of our departure. Did you hear what I just said? The time of our departure is totally in His hands. So you don't have to punch any panic buttons about it. You don't have to be confused or frustrated about it. When God sees fit to take you home, folks, you're going to go. You're going to go when God gets ready to take you home. That timing is totally in His care. And so you and I don't have to be punching panic buttons about when we're going to leave this life. Let's trust Him and know that He knows what's best for us, because God is the giver of life, neshama. What happened here is that there came a point of time when a little lady on the earth by the name of Mary engaged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. Lo and behold, came aware of the fact that she was pregnant. And she did not have contact with a human being on the earth. It was God, the Holy Spirit, that brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not news to you. All of you who are Bible students are fully aware of the fact that it is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the God-man. All the characteristics of man, all the characteristics of God. That to me just blows my mind. It just makes me so thankful that all while Jesus Christ was here on the earth in the flesh, in the deity side, he had all the characteristics of deity. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, immutability, and veracity. Going all through those. He had all those characteristics, but he also, on the other side, had body, soul, and spirit. Your silence scares me. You're listening so attentively, and I appreciate it. I just want you to know how wonderful it is. When you go to the book of Hebrews, the writer there is telling us that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not require, but for me, a body." And so a body was given to this little baby. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And I see it, a triangle with a line down the center. On one side, I see deity side, characteristics. On the other side, I see humanity, body, soul, and spirit. What we're doing now is we're looking at Scripture related to the Father and the Father's plan. And we're able to see that all while Jesus Christ was on the earth in the flesh, he did not go over here and swing deity characteristics into the human side. He willfully and deliberately and intentionally chose not to utilize deity characteristics in the humanity side. I'd like to look at you because I see that you're listening and you're thinking and you're hearing what is being said. Those years that Jesus Christ lived on the earth, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was the only one qualified to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. If you want to find out about Jesus, study the Gospel of John. Find yourself over into chapters 15, 16, 17, and you will be amazed at what this Jesus Christ did in relationship to the disciples, in relationship to his proclaiming information to them, which they did not comprehend. He even said that he was going away, and they said, "We don't understand that. If you're going to go away, what does that mean? What's going to happen to us?" We could get into a long discussion there, but Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was doing. And what we see is that Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and die for your sins and mine, be buried, come forth out of the grave, ascend to the Father's right hand, to make intercession for us. And we see all the way through in the Old Testament how God moved in the lives of the people known as the Jews, the age of Israel, all the way through. And you find it as you look at all of these chapters of the Old Testament and find out that God knew exactly what he was doing. Going to the book of Jeremiah, going to the book of Isaiah, and the Spirit of God moved so mightily in the lives of those individuals 600-700 years before Jesus Christ came on the earth in the flesh. And yet we see prophecy related to what would be taking place in the future. The prophets could not understand all this. They could look across the periods of time. They could see things. And then there were things that they could not see. They could not see the age in which you and I now live because it was known as the mysterion, the mystery time. After the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle of salvation in the life of Saul of Tarsus, we find out that God said to him, You're going to be responsible now for giving the message of salvation to the Gentiles. The mysterion time is the church age, the age in which you and I now live. It's known as the intercalated time. Intercalated just simply means something pushed into. So the timeline moves along here, moves along here, and the church age has been squeezed down into that line called the age of Israel. That should be making sense to all of you. Because you and I live in this magnificent age called the church age. We live between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand. What a magnificent time to be alive. I'm so glad that God allowed me to live here at this time. I just hope He lets me stay a little while longer. It would be nice. If He doesn't, it's okay, but I want you to know that there's a great possibility that this church age could come to a close even before you and I reach our point of time of departure. Wouldn't that be something? If it happens, that's fine. If it doesn't happen, then you and I are going to be chickens. We're going to have to die physically. That's okay, too. But if He should come, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which remain that are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. What am I trying to tell you this morning? I'm interrupting my whole plan of preparation on paper just to talk to you and share with you some things that are so meaningful to me. God is presented to us in this verse of Scripture, and it is used with the word and then the word pros. Pros is a Greek word which means face to face. This simply means that you and I, by means of prayer, have access to the throne of grace. The Scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you'll notice, the Apostle Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words are not put there accidentally. They're put there on purpose. Kyrios is a word for Lord, which means ruler, master. Jesus is the Greek word for Jesus, which emphasizes the anointed one or the appointed one. Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at that word Christos, it is an emphasis upon the fact that God's plan for mankind is that we see the total work of Jesus Christ. When He came to the earth, He came as the God-man with all the characteristics of deity. But the major thing that I want to tell you in closing today is when you look at the life of Jesus Christ in that period of time when He was on this earth, He was all God with all the characteristics, the essence of God. But in His time on the earth, He chose not to pull over into the human side the divine characteristics. He fulfilled His life the way that He wants you and me to fulfill our lives. And that's by depending upon being under the control of the Heavenly Father while we're living on the earth in human flesh. Did y'all get what I just said? Amen. Oh my. We're not little divine beings. We're not little deities. We're human beings. But we're saved by God's grace. And we have a relationship to our Heavenly Father who exceeds anything and everything that you and I could ever imagine. God, Father. Beautiful terminology. The Apostle Paul is saying, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, Wednesday night we'll look at this in detail. It says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see how beautiful that is? From whom every family, and that word family there means the Father's clan. The Father's clan. The Father's little ones. You and I are the little ones of the Father. Are you happy about that? You are a member of a royal family. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You've been saved by grace. God is your Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father. We belong to His family. We're members of royalty. We're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Not anything better than that. Not anything better than that. So much of the biblical concept of prayer is related to you and me living properly related to the Father. Our residence inside of this magnificent sphere of power, which is divine. That's the reason I wanted to tell you. In that sphere of power, two things will be happening simultaneously. At the close of the service, you'll remember I mentioned that. Number one, the believer is functioning under prayer and at the same time developing virtues that are necessary for effectiveness in the royal family. Prayer and virtue develop simultaneously. Prayer life toward God also relates to human life toward people. Your relationship to God also affects your relationship to others. The effectiveness of our Lord when He was on the earth was related to the fact that He lived a life under the control of the Spirit of God in the flesh. Do you follow that? The very same thing that He desires for us. The effectiveness of our Lord's prayer life during His time on the earth, during the incarnation, was based upon impeccability, which is the human of Christ, the humanity of Christ, residing inside of a sphere of power which was correct. In other words, while Jesus Christ was on the earth, that the cogs were rolling smoothly. All while He was here, even when He went to the cross and died on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Tetelestai, it is finished. All these things. He was doing this in the flesh as a man under the control of the power of God. The powerful sphere of influence. If I cannot tell you anything else, I want to tell you that you and I have access to that same sphere of power today that he had while he was here on the earth for that short period of time. May we pray together, please. Father, help us to realize today how wonderful it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ, a member of royalty, and having all of this magnificent, wonderful provisions made available to us. We can live a life of joy and peace and contentment and happiness, not because of us, but because of what you provided for us. And as we come now to the close of this service, we do not know, but there may be some out there on the airwaves who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They could do it now. We realize that when God loved, he loved the world. And when Christ died, he died for everyone. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust you right now. And then that they will have a desire and a hunger to grow and advance and to love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently. We thank you for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.